Well, do you want a new heart? If you're born again, you have a new heart. But how did you get that new heart? And why did you need that new heart? In Ezekiel 36, 26, God offers Israel a new heart. A spiritual heart transplant. That's what my sermon is about today. Spiritual heart transplant. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Israel's heart was hardened and turned to stone, turned away from God. They had spiritual heart failure. They needed a new heart. Now I'm going to compare this spiritual heart transplant that God is offering Israel and to us with a physical heart transplant. Organ transplantation is one of the modern miracles of medicine that allows some people to have a continued life that they wouldn't have otherwise. But you have to keep in mind that in order for someone to receive a heart transplant, someone has to die for that person. So you see, the gift of a transplant is a true gift of life in the natural and in the spiritual, as we're going to see. Now, I'm amazed at the medical accuracy of the Bible that we see. In this scripture that we read, it said that Israel had a stony heart. In the natural, when someone's heart has failed to the point that they need a heart transplant, their heart failure is so far advanced that the heart has become hardened or fibrosed. It literally becomes hardened instead of soft. And so God is offering Israel a new soft heart, and he would take away their stony heart. So Ezekiel was medically accurate here when, or God was medically accurate when he called their heart stony or hardened. Well, we know God knew the condition of the heart. We're going to read a scripture about that. Okay, so Israel had end-stage heart failure, but what is end-stage heart failure? It's when your heart failure has become so far advanced that it's not able to keep up with the workload necessary to pump blood to all the other organs in the body. Okay, so the blood that's being coming back to the heart, because the heart is so weak, it backs up then from the heart into the lungs, and we call that congestive heart failure, or CHF. Now, we use medications to treat that, and up to a point we can treat that and to control that, but there may come a time in some people where their heart failure becomes so advanced that we call it end stage. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, where these people are in end-stage heart failure. Well, how does this apply to us spiritually? And this scripture was already quoted. I said earlier, I'm amazed at how the Holy Spirit takes all of these sermons and kind of interweaves them together, right, with the same scriptures. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said to those that were laboring and heavy laden that they could come unto him, that we could come unto him and find rest. He was speaking to those who were laboring under the workload of the law, and they were not able to keep up with the workload of the law. their hearts were failing. And so it is true for us. We find ourselves trying to keep the law, and we cannot. And so then we find ourselves under the sentence of death, because the law said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So that was in Romans 3:23, that the scripture says that we've all sinned. It includes all of us. None of us escape this diagnosis. We all have end-stage heart failure apart from Christ. There is no good in our old creation heart. Okay, so in the physical, in order to meet the criteria to be eligible for a heart transplant, the doctor would have to say that without the heart transplant, you would be expected to die within 6 months. So you're under the sentence of death. This is a terminal diagnosis. But the same is true spiritually. You have to recognize your need of a new heart. So the person who has physical heart failure, if they have find that they have physical heart failure and there's no further hope available from either medicine or further surgical intervention, then you go to a heart specialist to see what else can be done, and they do all the testing and evaluation and find out that that yes, indeed, you meet the criteria, and offers you a heart transplant. So you have to be willing in the physical to say, yes, I'm willing to take that heart transplant. But it's also true in the spiritual. Now, again, concerning the medical accuracy of the Bible, let's go to, and I think I skipped a page here. Let's go to Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. So God has evaluated man's heart and found it to be incurably diseased. This is what he says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. In other words, you have a bad heart. It's a bad heart. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. So who can know the heart? Only God. God searches the heart. He's the true heart specialist. If you have a bad heart in the natural, you go to the heart specialist, and they evaluate you. But in this scripture, we see again the medical accuracy of the Bible, because it not only says that God tries the heart, he searches the heart, he evaluates, he investigates the heart, but it says he tries the reins. So what are the reins? Anybody know what the reins are? The kidneys. We get the term renal from that same root word. Now, in those days, they used the term kidneys to mean the our inward being. Much the same way in which we use the term heart. I love you with all my heart. They use the term kidneys. And so it was no accident, though, that God paired the heart with the kidneys. Okay? Because the first organ that the heart has to pump blood to, besides the brain, is the kidneys. So as heart failure progresses, there's less blood flow to the kidneys, and the kidneys begin to fail. So when they evaluate you for a heart transplant, when they go in and they try your heart, investigate the heart, they go into the heart cath, you know, and they have put the dye in there, and they found out all the problems that you have and how bad your heart really is. This is what the Lord does to us spiritually also. So they also check to see if your kidneys are failing, because it's possible that you may need a kidney transplant at the same time that you need a heart transplant. Okay, so that wasn't coincidental. God knew that. And I'm just amazed at the medical things I find in the Bible. So God knows our heart more than we know it. Our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful. That means no matter how good we try to be, no matter how many good works we try to do, no matter how much love we try to show, just like trying to keep the law, sooner or later we break down under that load. We're not able to do it. The same way that a physical heart that is in failure cannot keep up with the workload. Neither can we with our old creation heart. Okay, we're not able to do the good works. The scripture says, be not weary in well-doing, but we're going to get weary in well-doing if we're trying to do it out of the goodness of our own heart. Why? Because there is no goodness in our own heart. We all have heart failure. We can't do the things that we want to do. A person in end-stage failure can't even walk across the room without getting short of breath. They can't hardly even dress themselves. They get that short of air when they're waiting for a heart transplant. Well, the Apostle Paul acknowledged the same thing in Romans 7, 18 and 19. And that's when he found out that in his flesh, he was not able to do the good that he wanted to do. He tried, and he failed. He found that the old creation heart was no good. We all have spiritual heart failure. Now, we can apply this in two different ways. Before we are born again, of course, the natural man cannot please God. But after we're born again, and we receive his new heart, and then if we try to do works with our old creation heart, we're going to fail. Paul said that he was under the sentence of death in 1 Corinthians 1:9. He said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. He gives us a new heart. It takes a new creation heart to please God. So the same problem applies to all of us. None of us would escape death because all have sinned. Okay, so the wickedness of our heart that we read in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It has nothing to do with our upbringing or whether or not we were raised in a Christian home. It simply has to do with the fact that we're all sinners. We can't please God. Our heart is wicked, and we need a new heart. So God offers us a new heart. Now, this isn't intended to be a sermon about salvation or a message about how to get saved, although it could be used that way, because God wants us all to be saved and have a new heart. He wants us to have his heart. But it's a message about how great the gift of God was to us. How great was his gift of life and love and grace to us. In Ezekiel 18:31, let's read that. So I want you to keep in mind, I'm applying this, I'm comparing this to the natural gift of a heart transplant, and how great the gift of a heart in the transplant in the physical is, or any organ transplantation that a person receives from somebody else, to how great that gift is to us in the spiritual. In Ezekiel 18:31. God again offers Israel a new heart. He loved Israel. He chose Israel. He wanted them to turn to him. He said, "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart, a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Why will you die? All you have to do is take my new heart. But he says the same to us. Why will we die? All we need is his new heart. So now let's get back to the physical. And we're going to assume that you have been evaluated by a heart doctor and found to be in end-stage heart failure, and you're put on a transplant waiting list. Every one of you, including myself. So what does it mean to be on a waiting list? It means that you're waiting around for somebody who is to be your donor, that will be your match to die for you. You're waiting around for someone to die in order that you may live. So, in the natural, before you can receive a new heart, a donor has to die at the right time and the right place. In Galatians 4:4-5, we read that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. Why did he send his son? To die. To give us his heart. For God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for us. Second Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to receive your new heart." Now, you're on the transplant waiting list. So a person who's on a transplant waiting list has to carry a phone or a pager, some kind of device that will alert you that a donor heart has been found. And you're waiting around for the call. So, when they get the call, they have to be ready to go now. They can't say, "I can't come today. I have something else to do." You know, we can apply this call spiritually. The Holy Spirit calls us. No. It may be that he's calling us for salvation. It may be that the Holy Spirit is calling us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It may be that he's calling us to be his bride. And we can't say, I don't have time today, because he may come today. So a donor, if a person is waiting for the transplant, the donor has to die at the right time in the right place that allows the recipient of the heart, the person who needs the heart, to be able to reach that site in a short period of time, or it'll be too late for the transplant. This is true spiritually. When you hear the call, yeah, you have to go. But God had it all planned out, when to send his son into this world, when to call you to be his child, to give you his heart, to be his bride. And we should be, how do we receive the call? The Holy Spirit, of course, calls us, and we hear his, it's through his word. We hear that voice that says, now. And we must say yes. We must be willing to say yes. I will go. So who's capable of being your donor in the natural? A donor has to match as closely as possible the recipient's size and has to be the right tissue and blood type. You can't just receive anybody's heart. There has to be a match. It's not possible to take an adult's heart and transplant it into a newborn baby. It's not going to fit. It's the wrong size. So in the natural, it must fit and be compatible. Since we can't change, the donor has to match. Now, what about spiritually? We cannot make ourselves match the donor. God says, I want to give you a new heart. But we can't make ourselves match the donor. So Jesus had to match us. God's son had to be born of a woman to become like us. He had to come down to earth as a baby. He had to become our tissue type. He was a son of God, but he had to become the son of man. He had to become like us. God couldn't put his heart in us. God's heart wouldn't fit in us. It's too big. We cannot be like God. That's what the world says today. Try to be good. God will accept you. We can't be like God. That was one of the lies, the first lie that's recorded in the Bible of Satan in the Garden of Eden. When he tempted Eve, he asked Eve what God said. And Eve said, well, God said that if I eat or even touch that fruit, I'm going to die. And the devil said, oh, no, you're not going to die. You're going to be like God. No, we can't be like God. I said that was the lie of Satan. We can't have God's heart because the donor doesn't match. It's the wrong tissue type. But John 1:1, you could probably quote this, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yes. So here is the Word in heaven with God and was God, and nothing was created that was created that wasn't created without him. So here we have the great God of the universe, and his heart wouldn't fit in us. But praise God for verse 14, because it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Son of God then became the Son of Man, and the tissue type now matches.
Amen.
We couldn't become like God, so he became like us. Now, Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So the good shepherd had to give his life. But if we're but if we're going to be his sheep, we need a lamb's heart. So the good shepherd became the Lamb of God. It has to be a match. It has to be the same tissue type. The Word of God became the Good Shepherd, but also the Lamb of God. So the Lamb of God then was slain that we could have his heart. Now the blood type also had to match. So Jesus had to take on a body of flesh and blood to give us a new heart that was compatible. The deeper you dig into this, the deeper it gets. I mean, I love this. In Hebrews 7:26, we see that he was not only the lamb, but he was the high priest that offered the lamb. Okay. He was also our high priest. But it also says in Hebrews that such a high priest became us. The donor had to match us. He became us. He became a man. Not just to have flesh and blood, but to be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He became the perfect donor for us. He was now our blood type, our tissue type, and he willingly gave his life for us. The gift of a transplant in the natural should not be taken lightly, or in the spiritual, because it requires an incredible gift of love and life. His heart gives us life. The life of Christ can now be in us. We often quote John 3:16 without recognizing the value of that life that was given for us. And what he went through when he left his throne in glory to become a man, to become like us. He took upon himself the form of sinful man. He who knew no sin became sin for us. We can't even begin to comprehend the suffering that Jesus went through to die for us. He prayed in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He suffered emotional suffering, not just physical suffering, because he loved us so much.
And he looked beyond the suffering of the cross to the joy that was set before him. Because he wanted a bride. He wanted a bride with a new heart, with his heart. In Psalm 51:10, David cried out, "Create in me a clean heart, O God."
So a donor heart in the natural has to be a clean heart. It has to be free of blockage, no hardening of the arteries. The heart has to be evaluated and checked out to be sure that it's not fibrosed or hardened, like that stony heart. It has to be a nice, soft, pliable heart, not enlarged, but the right size. It has to be clean. So the heart has to be healthy with good blood flow. And that's true in the spiritual also, of course. Jesus' heart was clean and pure. He was without sin. The Lamb of God was without blemish or spot. Perfect, with a perfect heart. When we accept this heart, we become a lamb with a lamb's heart. A heart like Jesus, the Lamb of God, that desired to do the Father's will. The same heart that cried out, "Not my will, but thine be done." The same heart that said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done." It's that kind of love that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Because we now have a new, clean heart. We have a free flow of the blood of the Lamb in us. We have the life of Christ in us, and it can manifest the life of Christ in our life. It gives us new life. It's only the new creation heart that can give us that kind of love. Works couldn't give us a new heart. But after we have a new heart, just like in the physical, person with heart failure, end-stage heart failure, could not do any kind of work. But what about after the heart? Now, with a new life, the new heart in them, they can do work. And so when we have the life of Christ in us, then we are able to do the Father's will. We are able to do the work that he calls us to do. He is our enabling. He is our strength. It is Christ in us. It is not us. So as God asked Israel, "Why will you die?" Then why don't we just agree with the great physician and his diagnosis of heart failure? All of us have failed. And submit to the scalpel of God's word. We already read about that in Hebrews. And receive his gift of life, his new heart. The donor heart is waiting. Can you hear the call?
Amen.
Will you say yes? Now is the accepted time. Whatever he's calling you to do, whether it's for salvation, for the Holy Spirit, for whatever he is calling you, God has a call on your life.
Hallelujah.
Exactly, yes. And now, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh.
Praise the Lord. He wants us to have his heart to do his will. He wants it to be Christ in me, Christ in us.
Then after we receive our new heart, Psalm 57:7 is our testimony. Let's turn and read it. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Praise the Lord.